Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Listening to the John Jacob Schmidt Show. This is a pre-recorded show here at the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is pre-recorded because right now, as you're listening to this on Saturday morning, we are deployed with a nationwide network of American Redoubt radio operators who are conducting a disaster preparedness exercise. We are at AMCON, or the AMRON readiness condition level 2. And in just a few hours, we are going to experience a simulated earthquake off the Pacific coast, which will simulate the catastrophic earthquake that many scientists and government entities are claiming is just a matter of time before it does happen. Could be next week, could be this weekend, could be a month or a year or 10 years from now, but they say it is definitely coming at some point in the future. And with this recent increase, the swarm of seismic activity along the Pacific coast has the USGS and other organizations claiming that we're drawing closer to a real-world situation. So we're simulating that and training as if this is a grid-down disaster type of disaster response exercise right now as you're listening to this. So, of course, you can go to amron.com. I spell AMRRON or Alpha Mike Romeo Romeo Oscar November.com to learn more about this exercise that is going on right now. Now, at the time that I'm recording this, right before we head out to deploy for this exercise, we are on the brink of war with North Korea. Not a training exercise. This is real world. So not to confuse you, when you go to AMRON, you'll see the AMCON level. You'll see two of them. One is AMCON 3 right now in response to the threats from North Korea and the United States posturing against that threat. I'm going to talk about that today. And then there is the training exercise, AMCON level 2. That is just one away. AMCON 1 is the highest. That means a incident is occurring or is underway. So that's what's going on right now. That training exercise is happening while we are also keeping a very close watchful eye on developments in North Korea. And so that's what I'm going to talk about here. We have a regional network of Patriot leadership, elected officials, influential members of the various communities in the area, and of course, folks that are in leadership positions in the Patriot community right now are watching this very closely, and they have placed themselves on REDCON or Readiness Condition Level 3. The Latter-day Saints, also the Mormons, they have what is called a vow or a voice of warning. And they also have a preparedness condition level. They have raised theirs to PrepCon 2. The American Redoubt Patriot Network, REDCON 4. And Liberty Watch Washington is at readiness condition level 3. So there are many citizen groups, patriot groups and others who have really placed themselves in a position to try to respond as best as they can to any type of national emergency or a natural disaster. So many of us are taking note of this. The Forward Observer, over at the Forward Observer, they do a lot of intelligence analysis. Sam Culper over there from Forward Observer produced a special newsletter this week covering the developments from a military intelligence analyst perspective. And you might appreciate some of the additional insights to the cause and effect and the implications of some of these current events. Talking about the North Korean situation, we have a tremendous amount of military hardware, at least three aircraft carrier groups that I know of, I think maybe even a fourth one, that is either in the Western Pacific now or on the way. There's quite a bit of buildup there. There are also reports of several connections that we have in Washington, D.C. and at the Pentagon, where many are actually evacuating their families out of Washington, D.C. and New York to get them out of those areas. And as I'm watching this, this is what I heard is beautiful. President Trump, earlier when he said, if they fire a missile or attack or continue with these tests, they will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen. Well, he changed that, actually. No, he didn't change that. He said that about those statements, he didn't feel like they were strong enough. Made me proud. Here's the situation. North Korea is continuing to be defiant. They're saying the United States is making hollow threats. And I would consider any attack on Guam, which is where really the North Koreans are saying they have their sights set first. But of course, Hawaii is within reach. From the time that North Korea fires a ballistic missile, it would take approximately 14 minutes to reach Hawaii and or Guam. And of course, some of these reports vary to some degree, but that's literally just minutes. I'm interested to see, it is interesting to see some of the reactions on the internet. There are some people are saying, yawn, he's been threatening this forever. Trump's just escalating things. there's some really out of touch people out there. Oh, he can't hit anything with those missiles. Well, one of the most dangerous things, strategically speaking and militarily, is to underestimate your adversary. This is not something to yawn about. This is not something to take lightly. This is not something where you can use past performance as the measure for where we stand today and the level of the threat that we are faced with today, because all of these analysts just a year ago said, oh, he doesn't even have the delivery system to get a nuclear warhead launched. He could never get one to the United States. He's years away, at least months and months, if not years and years away from that capability. How fast they have accelerated their capabilities and stunned our intelligence community. Don't underestimate them. Right now, as it stands right now, they have the capability of striking, of firing an intercontinental ballistic missile into the mainland of the United States, as far away even as New York or Washington, D.C. or Chicago. So because of this, we are taking this seriously. As Christians, we know who we belong to. We place our trust and our hope in Him for His providence and His protection. We respond. Of course, this is alarming, but We're not fearful. These are very exciting times to be living in. Now, what I do fear is the Lord, and I also fear the consequences of this rebellious attitude in our own country toward God. And then I reflect that God is just, and his justice cannot sleep forever. I've heard that somewhere before. So, of course, it concerns me greatly. I love my country and the liberties that God gave us as a blessing. I do my level best, and I know many of you do, to try to hang on to those. But there are those that are undermining that, and it places our military and our nation, our economics, in a very vulnerable position when you consider that all of these blessings that we have came from him and can be snatched away. And if they are snatched away, will be because we deserve it as a nation. So what we want to do is try to do what we can to stay alert and sound the alarm, not to alarm people, but to make them sit up and pay attention. This is a time for repentance and for those who will listen, time to prepare, time for the remnant to be ready for an opportunity if it comes to restore Americanism. And also, you know, there's something about war that makes people very susceptible to the gospel. Be ready. Be ready to spread the good news. Offer them hope and the message of the gospel. So that's why we're doing this. We want to prepare, and our country is potentially in great peril. Now, I know we could just beat the snot out of North Korea, right? But here's my concern in all of this as I watch these things unfold. My concern is not being hit with a nuclear missile from North Korea. They could potentially fire off an EMP. They could hit one or two cities. They could hit China. They better not hit China. they might hit China, and then China will blame us. No, Guam or Hawaii. Easy targets. And of course, not to mention Japan and South Korea. So there's no doubt in my mind that we have the capability to pummel North Korea into the Stone Ages. And this week when Trump said, my statements about fire and fury weren't strong enough, I believe that if they fire off, especially if they fire off any type of nuclear missile, we will annihilate them and turn that place into a million degree glass parking lot. But my concern is with Russia and especially China, really the whole rest of the world. If North Korea fires on Guam, we retaliate and start obliterating North Korea. Out of desperation, they actually fire off one of their nuclear missiles and we respond in kind. And it will be no contest. And North Korea will be glowing for years. But my concern is with Russia and China, surprisingly, you might say, actually signed the UN resolution to implement new sanctions against North Korea. That's kind of an interesting move for China, isn't it? So we annihilate North Korea, and then Russia and China, along with the rest of the world, say, we escalated things. We overdid it. We used excessive force. It was unnecessary. Now the humanitarian crisis, just going into winter in North Korea, the humanitarian crisis following that type of an exchange would be blamed on Trump. Trump would be the cause of that. If he does nothing, they mock. North Korea mocks. The rest of the world mocks. The liberals and anti-American leftists in the United States mock Trump for continuously saying he's going to teach Kim Un a lesson. But if he does what needs to be done, they will accuse him. So they are going to mock him if he does nothing. They are going to accuse him if he does something. So it's a no-win for Trump as far as the world is concerned. And I support him. So far, what he's doing, I absolutely support him. That's my president right there. He's not my savior. He's not even the one that's going to save America. There's only one who can do that. But I'll tell you what, he is a fine president so far, and definitely, hands down, night and day, a better president than the previous administration, which will not be named. So I am really concerned about Russia and China accusing the United States of overreaching, using too much force, not giving diplomacy a chance, not allowing these new sanctions to have an effect. And despite the North Koreans' threats of destroying America and nuking us over and over, they're going to accuse Trump or the United States of escalating the situation. And it's interesting that Thursday this came out from China's news agency. Basically, China threatening if North Korea launches an attack that threatens the United States, then China should stay neutral. But if the United States attacks first and tries to overthrow North Korea's government, China will stop them, the Chinese state-run newspaper said on Friday, which was actually Thursday in the United States. President Donald Trump ratcheted up his rhetoric toward North Korea and its leader on Thursday, warning Pyongyang against attacking Guam or U.S. allies after it disclosed plans to fire missiles over Japan to land near the U.S. Pacific territory, Guam. China, North Korea's most important ally and trading partner, has reiterated calls for calm during the crisis, but has expressed frustration with both Pyongyang's repeated nuclear and missile tests and with behavior from South Korea and the United States that sees as escalating tensions. See, he can fire off, he can violate resolutions and United Nations resolutions. He can defy the other countries and threaten them and tell us that he's going to destroy us as he's lobbing intercontinental ballistic missiles. And we can't do anything. China is saying we can't do anything. Communists. Defending communists. We're going to have to do what we have to do to stop this threat. Now, I do believe if North Korea launches a missile, and especially if they launch it toward Guam, a military response from the United States will be imminent. And it may already be now because we don't know what's being discussed behind closed doors, but it's all being put into motion right now. I was speaking to Mrs. Schmidt tonight, and I said, over this weekend, while we are on this training exercise, we will be watching everything closely. If North Korea fires a missile, then I believe, or let's put it this way, the prudent thing would be to expect a military response by the United States to be imminent. And while the rest of the general public are stunned and drooling in front of the news, trying to figure out what's happened, you need to be taking action while everyone else is stunned. Monday, I would expect a run on the banks I would expect if, now what I'm saying is, let me repeat, if North Korea fires another missile, the clock starts ticking. It could be minutes, hours, or within just a couple of days. All right, then that's where things would escalate. And then the next thing to be concerned with is China's intervention to keep us from using excessive force or accusing us of escalating the situation. Somehow intervening, things could escalate really quickly. So while I am demobilizing and making my way back from this training exercise, if that happens, consider war imminent. Go to the bank and draw out as much money from the ATM as you can. You can always put it back. But once that happens, there will be likely runs on banks and you will not be able to get your hands on your money. Now, of course, that would bring our economy down and money would be worthless, but that takes time. For the next week or two, you're going to have cash in your hand to be able to buy essentials when other systems might not be working or being disrupted. Get the cash in your hand. So then make a list and make a list now. Mrs. Schmidt actually has a list, critical items list, things that's hard to stock up long term on, like cooking oils, things that go rancid, fuel. She's got a list of foods, peanut butter, you name it. And as soon as some type of event appears imminent, take all the cash that you have on hand and dump it into those tangible goods. Hit the bank and start stocking up on those things, because once the general public snaps out of their stupor, you want to stay ahead of that panic. All right. While everyone else is stunned, you take action. And that way you are clear. You're off the streets. You're out of the stores. You have what you need. You have cash on hand. And you miss that. Just like with hurricanes. Well, it's amazing to watch a hurricane. Once they say, okay, it's confirmed. It's going to make landfall. It's going to hit. And then everybody runs to the store. You should already be stocked up on hand anyway. You should already have everything you need for at least 90 days. Preferably 6 months or even a year if you're able to. It's pretty easy to do that, actually. So those were my standing orders. Take that emergency essentials list, things that you need to stock up on immediately. Have your vehicles full of fuel. Have your batteries charged up. Have sensitive electronics equipment or your spare radios, night vision goggles, whatever you have, very high and items, very sensitive items, impossible to replace in a disaster type of situation, and put those in Faraday protection. If you don't know what that means, go and Google it and look up Faraday. And there are ways that you can do that. You can mitigate the effects of electromagnetic energy that can damage those electronics. So have your list, be ready to act when everyone else is stunned. Something when I close here, this new Secretary of Navy is talking about setting a goal of 355 ships, talking about making our country vulnerable. This is in the Navy Times. And when asked about Trump's call for prohibiting transgender service members in the military, he says that he's waiting orders, but he says, we'll process and we'll take directions of a policy that's developed by the defense secretary. He says, fundamentally, any patriot that wants to serve and meets all the requirements should be able to serve in our military. That's the Navy secretary speaking, basically in contradiction to Trump's obvious wishes. But there's a great letter here I want to read to you. It's from a soldier in the military. Best response I've ever seen. From Sergeant Robert Brown, U.S. Army. Nobody has a right to serve in the military. Nobody. What makes people think the military is an equal opportunity employer. Very far from it. The military uses prejudice regularly and consistently to deny citizens from joining for being too old or too young, too fat or too skinny, too tall or too short. Citizens are denied for having flat feet or for missing an additional fingers. Poor eyesight will disqualify you, as well as bad teeth, malnourished, drug addiction, bad back, criminal history, low IQ, anxiety, phobias, hearing damage, six arms, hear voices in your head, self-identity as a unicorn, you need special access ramp for your wheelchair, can't run the required course in the required time, can't do the required number of push-ups, not really a morning person, and refuse to get out of bed before noon. All of those can be reasons for denial. The military has one job, war. Anything else is a distraction and a liability. Did someone just scream, that isn't fair? War is very unfair. There are no exceptions made for being special or challenged or socially wonderful. You change yourself to meet the military standards, not the other way around. The military doesn't need to accommodate anyone with special issues. The military needs to win wars. Good job, Sergeant. I stand with this soldier. He is absolutely dead on correct. All right, you guys have a blessed rest of the weekend. I want to thank our sponsor for this half hour, Riverfront Suites, out of beautiful St. Mary's, Idaho, right there on the St. Joe River. And this is the time of year to be right there on the river. 7 fully furnished suites. Go check them out at riverfrontsuites.com. Okay, back to training. Thank you guys for being out there. God bless. And I will talk to you tomorrow night at 8 p.m. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name too.